Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
I'm Stephen Lewis. I'm the curator of music and performing arts at the National Museum of African American History and Culture.
And we're talking because today is the 43rd anniversary of Rapper's Delight, which many consider, you know, the first major, you know, the first rap song that I guess the first to reach the top 40, at least it released in 1979 by the Sugar Hill Gang. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, let's go into, you know, how big of a hit this song was. I mean, do you remember when it came out and, you know, personally listening to it when it blew up?
Sure. I mean, it was before my time. You know, I was not around for, you know, a decade or more.
Me either, man. I'm 84.
But, you know, definitely it made a major impact on not only American popular culture, but on global culture. One important thing, Rapper's Delight was not the first hip hop recording release. That was actually a recording called King Tim 3. Which was put out by the Fatback Band in the summer of 1979. So,
And then Rapper's Delight, Curtis Blow do Christmas rapping in December, I think, probably.
Exactly. So those recordings. So you have King Tim 3 in summer 1979. Then you have Rapper's Delight in fall 1979. Then you have Christmas rapping in winter 1979. So, you know, exactly. And this is kind of the emergence of rap music into popular culture, where previously it had been a music that was really kind of based around the communities in first the South Bronx and then later in Harlem and in other Black and Latino communities in New York City. And so it's important because, you know, this is really the demonstration that hip hop, which before this point had been music you'd hear at parties in certain neighborhoods, could be translated into records, which in turn meant that it could be marketed and sold.
Exactly. And talk a little more about what you're saying. Talk about before Rapper's Delight, or well, before the three songs you mentioned in 1979, before all this, you know, I guess what, mid to late 70s. Talk about how, you know, rap and, you know, the early seeds of hip hop sort of developed organically, you know, people, you know, spinning at parties or block parties or, you know what I mean, or clubs, you know, how it was an organic thing that was that just sort of rose, you know, from the grassroots.
Sure. Hip hop was really a, like you said, a grassroots cultural movement that kind of emerged from the youth culture of the South Bronx in the early 1970s. The person who was credited as kind of the first hip hop artist would be Kool Herc, who is a DJ based in the South Bronx, and who was the featured performer at the party at 1520 Sedgwick, which was, you know, symbolically at least the birth of hip hop. But hip hop had deeper roots than that, of course. You know, if you look at the kind of oral traditions and kind of traditions of wordplay that you have in the Caribbean and in African American culture, if you look at traditions of, say, dance and street art, you know, there are definitely antecedents of hip hop that go way back into 20th and even 19th century Black culture in America and the Caribbean. But, you know, hip hop itself, you know, as it emerged in the 70s, was a cultural movement that encompassed multiple elements, you know, so multiple types of expression. You have rapping, which is probably the element of hip hop that is most associated with what we call hip hop music today. You also have DJing, which is the art of using records and turntables to create music, basically using a turntable as a musical instrument in its own right.
Right. And talk about how they, you know, found the break, you know, the drum beat. You know, you mentioned DJ Kool Herc, and then I guess who else with Grandmaster Flash, Afrika Bambaataa, all the, you know, they were some of the original people to start isolating those breaks. So talk about, you know, like how they would try to select the breaks.
Sure. So basically, you have DJ Kool Herc, along with others, develop techniques for kind of selecting the most danceable kind of instrumental breaks on these longer, say, disco and funk tracks, and isolating them and then looping them so that kind of the most popular or danceable section of the record kind of would continue indefinitely. And then you could also kind of segue smoothly into similar breaks from other records. And so it's this really intricate technique that kind of develops through the experimentation of these musicians who become really adept at using their turntables.
I love it. I love it. And danceable is officially a word now. If it wasn't before, it is now. Well, awesome. Thanks for setting the stage there of sort of the origins of this entire genre, which is, you know, like a billion-dollar global, arguably the most popular genre now. But we're here to talk Rapper's Delight. So I guess the distinction we can say is, yes, maybe Fatback Band's King Tim 3 was probably the first rap song or hip hop song, but I guess the way we'll peg it here on the radio is maybe we can say that Rapper's Delight was the first to, you know, top 40 hit. So like you're saying, talk about how this, you kind of already mentioned it, but how that proved this genre could be commercial.
Sure. So up to the point that Rapper's Delight was released and became a hit, there was actually quite a bit of skepticism among musicians, so among DJs and MCs, that hip hop could even be marketable in the form of records, right? I mean, there was, this idea that, you know, really hip hop is music that is performed live at parties, and you can't condense it down into, say, a 10 minute or less record and then sell it. And so you have Sylvia Robinson, who is a record producer, eventually an executive, and also a vocalist herself, who sees the commercial potential of this music and wants to make recordings. And she actually goes around kind of the community asking people to record. And there is disinterest or hesitance, because again, there's this idea that why would anyone want to buy a record of what we do at a party, basically. And so what she does is she actually assembles a trio made up of Big Bank Hank, Wonder Mike, and Master G specifically to record. And then, you know, she brings them into the studio, and, you know, over the bass line of Sheek's hit recording Good Times, they basically just, you know, rap for 15 minutes. And so the full length track was 15 minutes. Obviously, there were different edits of the track that were shorter.
Right. And because they just kept passing the mic around, and that no one told them to stop. So they kept going.
Exactly. And so, maybe one factor in the commercial success of the recording was, of course, the rhymes themselves, which are very, very, very clever, very catchy, very memorable. And, you know, it should be said, the rhymes themselves, some of them came from Grandmaster Caz and other people who were also on the scene who were not on the record. And then also, of course, the bass line from Good Times, which was, you know, was a really great foundation for this new performance. And so, you know, that's really, I think, a couple of the elements that made this record a hit, where even if it wasn't the first hip hop recording, it was definitely the one that made the biggest impact right away. And this actually leads to the success of this recording. You know, it leads to kind of a shift in what hip hop, kind of the way hip hop was understood, the form that hip hop would take after the release of the recording. As I've mentioned a few times, up to fall 1979, so kind of throughout the 1970s, hip hop is understood mainly as, this is a live music, the performances are centered mainly around the DJ as kind of the star performer, you know, so this person who is kind of a master of the turntable can do these amazing technical things with their skills. After Rapper's Delight, because of the focus on rapping versus DJing, you have a shift from hip hop as live music that is mainly about the DJ to, over the course of the 1980s, hip hop as mainly a recorded music that is focused on the MC. And that's really the way that we kind of in popular culture engage with hip hop today, as kind of a you know, maybe the driving force of pop culture today and for the last couple of decades. So it's really like a pivotal moment in the history of the music, not only because of its commercial success, but also because of the impact it has on just the music itself.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I should mention, we actually interviewed, I talked to Master G and Hen Dog of Sugar Hill Gang back in January, I think, something like that. Yeah, just a couple months ago. They played City Winery here in DC. And yeah, so we invite listeners to go check that out in our archives. But thanks for, I'm glad that you jumped on here and provided some context, including, thank you for mentioning the producer, Sylvia Robinson, you know, the mother of hip hop, as they say, because, you know, a lot of people think of it as some male dominated industry, but right from the very roots, you know, powerful, you know, female influence with Sylvia.
Exactly. There wouldn't be hip hop if it wasn't for Black women. So it's very important.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, you know, MC Light and all the others to help get it going. Awesome. Well, in terms of the overall, you know, that was sort of like the creation of Rapper's Delight. Talk about sort of, you know, in hindsight, sort of the legacy as we look back. Like, I know what it made the Library of Congress recording registry in 2011, is the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2014. So it's starting to get, you know, it's been etched into history. And I actually believe you probably saw it. We both grew up probably around same time, man. But I think when VH1 did that 100 greatest hip hop songs, I think it ranked like number two behind only Fight the Power, Public Enemy. So, I mean, where do you sort of agree then, or where would you sort of rank Rapper's Delight in the all time hip hop songs? I mean, it's got to be towards the top just for history alone, right?
Sure, it's definitely near the top, and not only because of the impact it had, but also just because it's a really masterful recording. It's very catchy. You know, the lyrics are really appealing. The performers are really charismatic. Again, the way that they kind of reinvent the bass line from Good Times is kind of like, you know, kind of shows what hip hop artists would do kind of over the rest of history up to today, kind of reinventing and recontextualizing musical fragments from different places.
And didn't they have to reach a legal settlement too with Sheik?
They did. Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, and kind of, you know, again, foreshadowing some of the battles about, you know, publishing and copyright that would kind of come up at different points in the history of the music also.
Talk about, by the way, real quick, not to sidetrack too much into that, but that just sparked an interesting thought. Yeah, because up until this point, like you were saying, hip hop was a live thing where you would just spin records, whatever. No one's going to sue over that. It's a live show. But suddenly now people are making money off it. And Sheik is saying, wait a minute, that's Good Times. And you know, today it's commonplace to, you know, I don't know. I'll never forget the first time I heard Pastime Paradise and my mind was blown. I was like, wait a minute, I thought that was Coolio.
Exactly. I mean, the implications are completely different when it goes from this is an informal music that you hear live, and you know, at most maybe people will pay a couple dollars to get into a party, to now this is the potential to be a multi-billion dollar industry, you know. Yeah. So exactly, you know, it becomes a question of how do we give people the proper credit, you know, as the sources of, say, these samples, things like that. But, you know, so finally, I mean, I guess the last thing I'd say about why Rapper's Delight is so important, again, you know, it's a great recording, it's a great performance, you know, really great rapping by all of the featured artists. And also it just kind of, you know, the reason why it remains so important historically is because it really showed that hip hop had universal appeal. You know, this recording becomes popular around the world. Actually, Sugar Hill Gang, even though they did not have another hit in the United States, they continued to be very popular in Europe kind of through the early 80s.
Oh, well, everybody still knows Apache, thanks to the Fresh Prince dance.
Right.
I got to share this little tidbit with you from when we interviewed them in January. They were Sugar Hill Gang said that they'll be talking to, and they might find some young folks like at the airport or something on a plane. And they'll say, you know, Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight. And they kind of young kids kind of look at them like, what, who? And they say, you know, jump on it. And they go, oh, my God, you're jump on it. Start doing the dance.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. Well, I guess that's a good note to end on. Speak to, you know, if there's some younger listeners on here that say they only like their newer hip hop or the current artists, you know, explain to them, school them on why they should go back and listen to Rapper's Delight. You know, sort of I'm basically looking for a soundbite that's sort of like, you know, hey, a lot of whoever, name your favorite artist, they probably wouldn't exist without Sugar Hill Gang.
Sure. You know, anybody who loves hip hop today needs to understand that this music has a history that goes back 50 years, and to really understand where their music comes from, you know, they need to go back and check out Rapper's Delight.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but what would you say are up? I mean, we said Rapper's Delight would rank towards the top. Do you, Stephen Lewis, you know, as the expert here, do you have, name another song or two or three or however many you want that you would put, you know, towards the top of your list? Are there certain, you know, all timers you think that deserve the top spot, the Mount Rushmore?
Well, it's hard to, you know, the more music you listen to, the harder it is to say this is the best ever.
Right.
For me, you know, my favorite recordings are, you know, things like, you know, the Low End Theory, A Tribe Called Quest.
Yes.
You know, like Do You Want More by The Roots. I mean, I'm coming from a jazz background.
Sure.
And so my entryway into hip hop was artists who were kind of drawing on music that I recognized, kind of, you know, coming out of jazz. So I mean, my top records would be very slanted in that direction, but the beautiful thing about hip-hop is there's such a variety of different types of music within the tradition, so I'd be sort of at a loss to try to narrow that down to a handful that would be at the top.
Oh yeah, no matter who you ask, you'd get a different list. And that's the beauty of music and art in general. Thanks for indulging with that answer. That's like if you asked me what my favorite movies are, I'd be like, man, I don't know how to narrow it down. Depends what genre and what I'm in the mood for that day. I'm sure you agree. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Again, it's the 43rd anniversary of Rapper's Delight, which may, you know, one of the first rap songs, but we can definitely say the very first top 40 hit commercially successful one. And so that's what we'll peg it to. All right. Thanks so much for doing this. Oh, I'm sorry to keep you, but I thought of another final question. So plug the museum if you want, you know, talk about, are there any Rapper's Delight, you know, displays or if not, you can just talk about, you know, if there's like a hip hop wing in the museum or anything like that.
Sure. Definitely come and check out the National Museum of African American History and Culture. In our Musical Crossroads Gallery, we have always a rotating display of significant items from the history of hip hop music going back to the 1970s and early 1980s. So we'd invite you to come not only learn about hip hop, but also learn about hip hop in the context of Black history and culture.
Awesome. Stephen Lewis, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.